Welcome to Coffee with the Sarlows. We are your hosts of the show, Karen and Kelly Sarlo. Whether you're struggling with grief or you just need answers, we connect you with spirit to find relief, clarity, and direction in life. We can help you move forward.
Hi, Kelly.
Good morning.
How are you today?
Sick.
It just sucks so much to have a cold symptoms in the summer, eh?
Yeah.
Always find it so much worse than if you have a cold in the winter.
We're here.
Okay. And we're going to get through this.
Yep.
Okay. So I have a client, and I'm calling the client because we're making up names as usual. The client is Cookie.
Oh, okay.
That's what I've decided to call her.
Interesting.
And she asks if I can connect to her dad who's passed over. And so this is medium. And I'm going to call him Art. So her dad comes in and says, okay, he says, I have a lot of things to say to her today because I've been working my butt off on the other side. And I said, so have you been passed for a while? And he goes, I have. He says, it's been a few years since I've crossed over. He says, so could you please start by explaining to her how you call us alive dad and dead dad?
Yeah.
Like this. He said, because she wants alive dad and I need to be dead dad. He says, because I need to get some things done, not just for my sake on the other side. I've done this work now, but to actually help her so she can live her life and in a better way. And he says, so he says, I don't want to just show up as a live dad, but I understand that she's going to need validations to know it's me. So he says, so I'm going to start by saying things like her mom's still alive and that, you know, I've been passed for more than 3 years. And he said, and I'm going to say like that she has both brothers and sisters and that everyone in the family, like all of the children, her siblings, have all gone through marriages. Some are divorced, and he says some have children and some don't. So he gives some validations like that. And then he says, like, for instance, she's currently married and she has 3 kids and she's got 2 dogs. So he goes, you can confirm things like that with her. So I did. So I tell Cookie all of this stuff, and she's so happy, Kelly. she's just so thrilled with that. And then he says to me, now tell her the alive dad, dead dad scenario so that I don't just sit here and keep trying to prove to her over and over again that alive dad is here. And he goes, so can you explain that? So I did. And Cookie says to me, okay, so that was okay. And then he says, great. He says, so the next thing that I want to do, excuse me, is just say things to her like, the relationship, like what I was like as a dad on earth. And I said, okay, what do you want to tell me? And he goes, well, he says it was very controlling. And he said, I was super controlling of my wife, super controlling of all of the children and their partners and the grandchildren. And he said, Karen, it all stemmed from the fact that I grew up with an alcoholic parent. And he said, and I just saw one parent with their alcoholism, like what that meant for everybody in the family. He says, and I grew up with a lot of the siblings, and I watched how my siblings handled the dynamics of my parents. And he said, I was just determined that I was going to have more control, and that if I just had control over what people did and how they felt about things, that then I could let go some of my anxiety. And he said, but it turns out, he said, but I didn't catch this on earth, that's a never-ending job, and that when I died, I was exhausted. And he goes, and I can't even describe to you, because there's no earthly way to describe that level of exhaustion, no matter how sick you've been on earth. Like, he says, it's just wild. So I explained this to Cookie, and she says, yeah, she says, that's right about one of my grandparents being an alcoholic, and my dad's siblings. And, you know, she says, I don't know about my dad being like super controlling. And he goes, no, he says, I am saying, and I'm giving all my validations. I am owning it. This is where you have to tell her that I'm dead dad. So I do. And I said, well, Cookie, I said, you have to remember that this is dead dad seeing what he was like on earth, remember? Like the difference? So I can describe to you on earth that this is how he behaved. He fixed things. Oh yeah, that's my dad. And I said, and he was super helpful, but he was helpful to the point where he wanted control. And she goes, I don't know what you mean. So I had to break it down and say things like, well, for instance, if you wanted like to stain your deck in the backyard, he would decide the day it was going to get done because he would volunteer to help. But then he wouldn't show up on the day he would say, oh, he had a bad reputation for stuff like that. And I said, well, that's control. I don't see it that way. So there's, I'm so sorry because you're not feeling well, that this isn't a happier podcast show today. When you showed up and said that you were sick this morning, I thought, oh dear. Mm-hmm. So I struggled in her session because he would describe what he was like on earth, where he would describe his behavior, and I always had to describe it in two ways. So I had to be able to say he did this, and she'd say yes, and then I'd have to be able to say, well, this is what it really was. And then that's when she would be defensive of him or her or somebody and not deal with it. So he said to me that, I'm so sorry. He said, but this is what happens when you have a parent like me and you have a parent like her mother. Like he said, this is the type of session you get. This is the type of, if any of us bother to go to therapy, he says, every therapist would either be pulling their hair out, or they'd be sitting there thinking, cha-ching, I'm going to make a lot of money.
And sometimes you do both.
Right. Yes, yeah, because there's going to be a lot of layers to peel off. And he says, but Karen, he said, I didn't go to therapy. My wife didn't go to therapy.
And it shows.
None. She doesn't. Her husband doesn't. None of the kids in the family do. And as a result, every single one of us are avoidant. Every single one. And he says, so one of the things that I'm learning and that I'm trying to bring to her attention today is that everything is about avoidance. And he said, I want to create and give her examples of where each of us is avoidant. So I tell Cookie that. And she goes, well, I'm willing to listen to that. But she says, I just disagree completely.
Well, that's not really willing to listen to that.
Yeah. And I said, well, that might also be a part of your avoidance right there. And I can see daggers like
this. Yeah, avoidant people are violent in their minds.
Oh, yeah. And she goes, well, I don't know about that. She says, why don't you just tell me something that validates that it's my dad? And I'm stuck in this place between, well, no, I'd rather go back to you just proving that it's a live dad. And dead dad wants to come in and actually say things that really have meaning and that can create change and healing. And so it's like there's two very different agendas. And I said, okay, so I go to dead dad and I'm like, what do I do? Like, it's your daughter's session. She wants one thing and you want something else. And he says to me, no, you're going to do what I tell you like this. And I said, okay, you're the boss. Like the dead people are the boss. The spirit guides are the boss. So he goes, can you continue, please? He said, I want you to say something to her. He says, she has two brothers that are alcoholics. That's avoidance. And I want you to point out that because she'll agree to that one. And I'm like, oh, okay. So I say, Cookie, well, your dad wants me to give you an example. And he says that two of your brothers are alcoholics. And that's a type of avoidance. So every time they don't want to deal with something, they drink instead. And she goes, yes, I do have two brothers that are alcoholics. Yes, I can see where that's avoidance. I talk about that with my husband all the freaking time. I totally get that, but that's obvious. And then the dad says, I'm going to give another example. She has a brother who's into I'll say soft drugs like marijuana, and that's his kind of avoidance. And that's his pattern. Typically it's not, he drinks as well, but it's not alcoholism, but there's more of an addiction to the soft drugs. And if that doesn't suit him, then he just gets up and he leaves. And he goes, mention that, please. And I'm like, okay. So I mention that. And she goes, yeah, that's my younger brother. She goes, okay. She says, I think I'm catching on a little bit of what you're doing. She says, Dad's giving me a fact about my brothers I can't dispute. She says, I know these things. And I said, that's correct. And she goes, you're calling that a fact. And I said, that's right. And I said, and then you're trying to say that Dad is saying other things and I'm supposed to be able to believe that because the other things are facts. And I said, Cookie, that's exactly what your dad's doing. And she goes, okay. She says, I'm just really disappointed. And I said, okay, for what? And she says, I just wanted my dad to talk about happy things. And I said, well,
so avoid Cookie. Fuck.
Yes. And I said, well, he's saying that if he does that, that it's just more avoidance and that he's trying to bring you something that can help you with your life and that there's issues that are going on for you and he can see them. And she goes, yeah, okay, I guess we'll get to that eventually. And then I said, okay, Dad, what else do you want to say? And he said, well, he said, I'm trying to point out specific children in the family, specific things that they do. And he said, she has a sister, and this is going to be one that's really going to challenge her right now because it's the one that she's talking about the most, that's causing her the most pain. And he said, I want to bring up her, one of her sisters. I said, well, what's the avoidance pattern? Well, her sister disappears on her, like just hangs out, whatever, but and then just ghosts her. And he said, you guys call it ghosting. I call it disappearing. And she's done it to her their entire lives, like right since they were little kids. Her sister would just get up, walk out of the room, have a temper tantrum, and go into another room. She'd start with a temper tantrum, but when she got into the other room, she'd find something fun to do, and then she'd just stay there. And so her sister, the one, my daughter that you're talking to, Cookie, would eventually go find her and go, why didn't you come and get me if you're going to play with dolls? Or why wouldn't you come and get me if you were watching a movie? And her sister would just blow her off like, well, whatever. If you want to sit here and watch the movie, you can. But she would disengage and she'd give her cold shoulders. And this has intensified as they've aged. Longer periods of time, worse behaviors, the way that she speaks to her or doesn't speak to her. He says this is has been escalating and causing her more pain. And I said, well, what's going on with Cookie? And he goes, well, I raised her to be the people pleaser. And he goes,
avoider.
Yes. So she's stuck because she's in the people pleasing avoidant pattern. And he says, what I'm trying to do now, because my entire family won't go to therapy. And I said, Art, how come your entire family won't go to therapy? And he said, oh, that's totally on me. He said, I bashed anything to do with psychology, including Frasier, including Bob Newhart. And he starts naming these shows that, and I said, oh, wait a minute, can I name those shows? And he goes, you can. He said, because when I saw my kids watching these shows, laughing and having fun, I made sure that I told them they weren't allowed to watch. I censored the shows. He said, so I even censored what they watched on TV or what they listened to, as long as it was my car, my house, my presence. He said, so even when I went into their houses, somebody else would say, well, Dad, this isn't your house. He'd shut it off anyway. My family. So he says, point that out, because that's the facts she's looking for, that I'm here. But and my messaging. So I told Cookie all of this stuff. I said, you know, and she sat there and she went, yes. She said, my dad did all these things. That's true. And she said, yeah. She goes, and I'm glad that he's brought this up about my sister, because this is one of the things I wanted to talk about. I wanted to ask my dad about, why is my sister doing this to me? And she says, so I want Dad's answer. And I said, well, Cookie, Art has just given you the answer. That's her type of avoidance. And this is your kind of avoidance. And she goes, I can't see that at all. And I said, that's correct. You can't. And I said, because your dad also cut off all ability for any of you to read books that were helpful, listen to podcasts that were helpful, radio shows, TV shows, movies. He censored everything so that you didn't have access. But he also made sure that everybody in the family had the belief that psychology was just not valid. It wasn't scientific or whatever you want to call it. And she goes, yep, that's my dad. Like this. I said, what do you mean? She goes, well, yeah, he wanted it to be scientific. And he said psychology wasn't scientific. It
doesn't sound like he knows what scientific means.
Exactly. Oh, Kelly, we had a little chat about that during the session. I had to call a timeout, though, in the session and say, hey, this conversation's not part of channeling, but we can have a conversation as just two human beings about what science is and what psychology is, and around the fact that science can be as something as the plant sitting in front of you and the beautiful geometric shapes that it is. It's not just proof of everything. Science is a whole bunch of things. It's magical. It's creative. It's wondrous. It's not just proof and math and numbers to say something is real or not real. And she looked at me and she went,
can't see that.
It was one of the hardest sessions I've done because of all of these confining beliefs and the grooming that she received from her father and her mother, and then how all of the family has lived under all of these, all of this grooming. And so I'm going to say something. The session ended on not a good note.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Yeah, it she was not happy. So at the end of the session, even though Kel, she would validate that that was correct about each of the siblings, that that was correct about herself, that that was correct about her sister and her relationship. Her dad gave the...
This is the part that I just can't stand. It's like all of the... You're validating that everything is accurate. Mm-hmm. So as a client, they're saying, you are accurate. I just don't like the messages that you're giving me.
Well, and we had a conversation around that because she wanted the proof and that she...
You got it.
And I said that to her. I said,
and then you didn't like the message that came afterwards.
That's right. And I said, we had a little conversation around that and the fact that she thinks that's science. But then if science gave her some lesson or something that was provable, that she would also just dismiss it. And then that all of these things were part of this avoidance that everybody in the family strongly was groomed into. And how they were all living in all of this, all of these avoidant patterns. And so I said to her at the end of the session, I said, it sounds like your dad's suggestion to go to therapy might be the best thing that you've heard. Because she had asked for his opinion. She had asked for his advice. And she goes, yeah, that's not even my dad. And I said, that's dead dad. And she goes, no. She says, I just wanted my alive dad. And I said,
oh, no, hang on. You said, that's not my dad. No, I just wanted a live dad. Those are two different things.
And like through the entire thing, Kelly, like I had to catch all of those things and be able to slow the conversation down and then call a timeout because it's not channeling to be able to actually explain something or and educate. Mm-hmm. And also trying to explain to her that her dead dad and her alive dad both showed up. That she wanted both in reality because she wasn't just looking for an alive dad because he doesn't exist. And so you're going to a medium for dead dad. And when I said that, she went, oh.
Science.
Like right there. Oh, like this. So... the session ended, and I'm just going to say it was very curt. She just simply said bye, and she exited the Zoom meeting, and that was it. And then I moved on because I had clients after her and saw them. I went through my day, and I would say it was probably about maybe 3 or 4 days later, I get quite the email from her. And at the beginning of the email, she says, you know, this is why I booked the appointment, and it was very attacking. This is why I booked the appointment and all of that. I wanted, you know, the proof. And she goes back to the science stuff. So that was in the first part of the email. And then she says, I spoke to my husband about my session and how I wanted a refund. I wanted a full refund because you didn't do anything that I had asked. And my husband asked if he could watch the Zoom session because she had recorded it. And she said, sure, for shits and giggles. But she wasn't going to waste any of her time listening to me again. So he listened to it. And then she said he came back to her and said, I'd like to discuss it with you. I thought it was fabulous. And she just looked at him and, or whatever, like I'm just paraphrasing now because this was all in writing in an email, that she had a conversation with him about it. And then they watched it together and had another conversation. So they had
both spent 2 hours on this session.
And she said, let me tell you. And then it was the bulk of the email that was really long. And she said, my husband pointed out how abusive I had been to you.
Kudos to him.
And how ignorant I had been. He also pointed out to me that the way that I had been disrespectful of you is the same way that I have been disrespectful of him.
Oh, good Lord. Everything just picked up. Go on.
And that my level of avoidance was at a catastrophic level, that it was ending their marriage. And that him seeing this conversation made him realize what a brick wall avoider she was, and that he had no hope to be able to remain in the marriage with her.
High five. Proud of you.
If anybody's just listening to this and not watching us on YouTube, Kelly high-fived me across the couch because we're facing each other with her foot. Yeah. And I high-fived back with my foot.
It was accessible.
So we had a foot high-five today. Kelly, that's my first foot high-five. Thank you. Yeah. That was funny. So then it, further in her email, oh my God, it was such a good email. She goes on to say that her husband says to her that he will be going for full custody of the children because he does not want them to be raised and to be groomed in the same fashion that her father groomed her and her siblings, and that he will be using the recording and sharing it with the lawyers. Not that it's evidence, but that, and it can't go to court, but that he wants them to understand what type of grooming and what kind of behavior her avoidance is creating in their children, and how she's now grooming him and them the way her dad groomed her mother into people pleasing and compliance in order to keep peace and in order to keep a family together, because they're so much better than single parents, right? So superior. And science. You're right. Science. Yes, because science says so. They came out with all the facts about single parents and married parents. Like, I just, anyway, so I have to stick to this email. So she goes on to explain further then all of these things that he is pointing out to her, and how he's come to these realizations as a result of watching the session, and how hard her dad had worked to finally come through to love her, to apologize, and he couldn't even get to it because her avoidance was so high that she could not hear an apology or hear an acknowledgement, which was exactly what she had been doing to him. He could not get an apology in or conversation in, and he saw her refuse to be able to acknowledge and to apologize. And that quite often she did acknowledge and apologize things, but never with meaning or sincerity, because she went right back and repeated anyway, and now was in the pattern of repeating apologies and acknowledgements. so he could see that she didn't actually mean them. Then it went on into the next paragraph where he said to her, and now she's telling me this, that her dad had suggested the opinion was therapy, which is what he's been asking for years.
The husband,
that she has refused to go to. And now he understands why, because it allows her to stay in the avoidant pattern, which gives her control over him and the children.
Okay. Yes, I also want to point out the fact that that is correct. And if she goes to therapy, in some very weird, twisted way, she also ends up with disapproval from her father, which means not love.
Yes.
And that might not be something that people know how to articulate. But if I go do the thing that my parent told me was, you know, basically vilified, then dead dad won't love me. And alive dad isn't here. So how do I trust that I'm loved?
Very good, Kelly. I really like that. Thank you for helping listeners figure out the depth of her anguish over choosing a dad's love over her husband's.
Yeah. And it's
in a way.
Yeah. It's not that really that, but yeah, you're right.
I'll say it.
Cookie's in a pickle.
What?
Cookie is in a pickle.
Oh,
like she's in a very tough spot with, I have to stick to my belief system so that the structures that are in place still make sense and that I feel loved and safe.
Yeah.
Even though she's probably never felt a drop of that in her life.
Yeah.
Versus I'm being challenged to step into health and actual love, right? And openness. And that feels absolutely terrifying and not trustworthy.
Yeah. Yeah. So at the end of the email, she says to me, this doesn't end well. If anybody wants a happy ending, well, I don't know. Maybe it's all in the listener's, you know, perceptions. But she says, I'm writing to you as my husband is packing.
That's it?
Let me keep going. I thought you were going to say something.
No, fucking wrap this up.
Sorry.
Get to it.
Her last paragraph was, I'm writing this as my husband is packing. And she says, because even though I have acknowledged and done my apology again, for the first time, he's not listening.
Bullshit. Bullshit. He is finally listening.
Yep.
He is no longer limerent. How did it end?
At the very end, she wrapped it up so quick, Kelly. She just simply said that the session for 1 hour with me had ended her marriage. Mm-hmm. But that she was booking her first therapy appointment.
How long? How many paragraphs?
Oh, it was long. I don't know. It was super long.
I'm a real lover of efficiency. Okay. All that entire email said, you're right. You were right.
I hadn't thought about it that way, but she just said at the very bottom, like, that he was leaving and that she was going to go to her first therapy session.
Curious, by the bottom of the email, was she still asking for the full refund or had she?
No, didn't.
Okay, love this. So here, I'm going to say this, like, kudos to the fucking husband. So thrilled for him.
Yeah.
Art for probably saving his life by coming through that day and channeling through you. Congratulations. This is one of the biggest reasons that I am so in love with you as a person because you changed everything, right?
Yeah.
You burn it down with the most amount of love possible so that all parties have the ability to build from fertile soil, which I just think is the most beautiful gift that you can give someone.
That's alchemy, Kelly.
Yes, I know. I'm just saying it because people don't really know what alchemy is.
Yeah.
And then this is the cool thing is that you can burn it to the ground, give fertile soil at this point, and they can do that together or apart, and both are beautiful.
Yeah.
So if he leaves and never comes back, she still has that opportunity to build up her life again in an actual, authentic way. And I think that is incredible. So, like, Cookie, with love, grow the fuck up. Mm-hmm. And also kudos, because I think writing that email actually took a ton of gumption, because it really was an email saying you and dad were correct.
Mm-hmm.
Right? She is, even though she's maybe coming out in some verbally abusive ways and still attacking in some ways, she is ultimately saying, yep, nailed it.
Exactly.
And even if I refuse to see it, somebody else on this earth is also validating how right you are in the husband.
Yes. And I read the email once, like at the very beginning, Kelly, I read the first paragraph and I had to reread the first paragraph. Because I read the first paragraph and thought, oh boy, is this a delete one where I just have to like scratch it and not sit here and tolerate, you know, six paragraphs of abuse?
This is like a print it, frame it, remember why you do what you do on the days that the bad Facebook reviews come in or the scathing Instagram messages come in or the people, you know, hang up on the calls and say you're not worth it.
Yes. And meeting on the Zoom call while I'm in the middle of a sentence. Yeah. Yeah. It, and so I read it full. And when I read it full, I could actually feel and see all of the different things that had transpired inside of Art and Cookie.
Yep. Yeah, because something inside of her had to have a beautiful crack, right? The cracking of the egg that we talk about, for her to book the therapy session. Now, I'm not going to give her too much credit here.
Yeah.
She may have booked that as a last-ditch effort to say, see, I'm doing something, and we'll do nothing about it. We hear this all the time in couples. However, she has an opportunity.
Yeah, exactly.
Congratulations. Sounds like you earned every penny. Thanks. You and Art.
Exactly.
Thank you for listening to Coffee with the Sarlows. If you enjoyed the show today, please be sure to subscribe on your podcast platform and leave a review. New shows will air every other Saturday.